Jesus died, not my will, but yours. He said that finally in the garden, as you're familiar with the story of the prayer in the garden where he went in agony and had a discussion with his father about what was about to come. And after probably many hours in the long night, he cited those words, not my will, but yours. Last night, Father admonished us with a really good thought and some good words when he said to us, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to be a Christian, be a good one. I want to continue on that thought about becoming a good one and share a couple points with you. As we continue here to celebrate Easter in the Triduum, you know, this is the great 3 days of celebration of the story of our redemption and his story. It's a marvelous time for us to go back and recall and listen to the words and the scriptures and have parts to remind us of our history and where we were and where we've come to. And so these 3 days that are set aside are glorious, and they should be a part of everybody's Easter time. Hopefully during this time, this special time, by coming here and spending the extra time in his presence, we will allow God more time to move freely in our hearts. And if we allow that to happen during these 3 days, as we spend more time in his presence and we're listening to his word and allow God to speak to our heart, then hopefully we've all been changed just a little more. And we allow ourselves to be molded just a little more, to become more like him. As we travel through these 3 days of the celebration of our redemption, don't allow yourself just to be a spectator who comes and sits and listens to the stories and listens to the music and the songs and the presentation. Just don't be a spectator. But allow yourself to become immersed into the stories. Allow yourself to be immersed into the scriptures. As we were reading that, I'm hoping, you know, maybe you thought, where would I be at that time if I would have been alive at that moment? Would I have been one of the crowd that cried out, crucify him, crucify him? Would I have been, where would I have been in all of this? Would I have been a soldier? Where would I would have fit into this story? Had I been around at that time to immerse yourself, to think about where you are? Don't imagine for a moment. I was disturbed this week, and it's a good word I want to say. You know, this week, a lot of the channels are doing specials on Jesus and his crucifixions and those kind of things. And Sal and I were watching one the other night, and I became disturbed at what I saw being presented, another story of what they thought happened. And they presented Jesus in a way as almost somewhat a little bit confused, not sure of who he was. And in the presentation, it's kind of like always asking these questions, not to see what the answer is, but to kind of guide him about who he was. And it disturbed me because that's not who he was. He was fully God and fully divine. So don't imagine for a moment, not even a second, don't even imagine what appears that Jesus is helpless. And he doesn't know what's going on. Because in the midst of all this, in the garden, and all that is going on, we're told that he had the ability, if he needed to, he could have altered the situation dramatically. In fact, scripture tells us he could have called a legion of angels, 10,000 of them, to come and save him from what he was about to go through. So don't in any way ever think that he was helpless or didn't have some control. Because, as we know, he was in control. He was at the center, moving forward. Because why? He was following the will of God that he had for his life. And because of his love, and because of who he was, and he knew what was being accomplished, Jesus followed. He was obedient. The scripture tells us he was obedient unto the cross, even unto death. To do that, not an easy thing. So I ask of you, take the time today, later today, and tomorrow, and experience Jesus. Experience his passion. Go back and read it again in a quietness, and read it again, and read it in a personal way, and put yourself into a little bit. I don't know if you noticed, I kind of paused in there while I was reading, because I'm standing here, and I see what's coming next, and my heart is being moved and twisted as I'm contemplating what's being read and what Jesus went through. And it gets a little tough sometimes to go on, because it's like, I want to stop a minute and gather myself, because what tremendous love this man has for us and God, and wanting us to be part of him. Freedom. The word freedom. In an American sense, as we look at it and we're raised, freedom means we have the choice. And we have choices, and in those choices, the word I is a big part of it. I choose to go to this college. I choose to want to be this occupation. I choose what I want to say, or I can pick what I don't want to say. I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do. That's the American sense of freedom. And we have to be careful that we don't mix the American style of freedom into what freedom in Christianity is. It's not the same thing. And sometimes we get a little confused about this freedom. And Paul writes a lot about the freedom in Christ that he has, and that we experience as believers, because the freedom in God is different. Really? You're telling me it's different? See, Father challenged us, if we're going to be a servant, be a good one. And that means to move forward and becoming free in such a way that we abandon what we want and what we think is right. And we then freely choose to turn our lives over to him and say, not my will, but thine. And when we do that, when we release ourselves to God, when we release ourselves, there comes this freedom that I'm talking about. As a believer, because no longer are you in control of your destiny, as the great American way would be. But in a freedom that God is in control, and that whatever comes our way, whatever cross we come to bear, we know that in the midst of all this, God is there and is aware of what's happening, and will give us the strength to go through. So as believers, let us be called to that freedom that God gives to us when we give ourselves over. The Lord's Prayer, we say every time, not my will. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done, we say. That's where we experience the true freedom in Christ, when we give ourselves over. Just like Christ gave himself over in obedience to the Father's will and carried out what the Father had planned for us, so that all of us might experience redemption. The Blessed Mother became free in that way when she was before the angel Gabriel. And what did she answer back? I don't understand what's going on. I'm not sure how this is going to happen. But nevertheless, let it be done unto you. And because of Mary's ability to give herself over to the will of God and become free in the will of God, we experience what we have today. That's why Mary stands as a glorious example before us about giving ourselves over and becoming free in God. Not an American thing. It's a godly thing. So we want to become free. Paul uses a good word in the scriptures about this freedom. And he says this. It doesn't sound very free, but it is, that he became a what? Slave of Christ. That in becoming a slave for Christ, he then become free. We think of slavery and bondage and hindrance and chains and all that. But in the Christian realm, to become a slave to God is to experience that freedom that you've allowed God to take control of your life. So know that whatever cross that you have, you can take that cross up with the same courage, the same determination, the same love, and the same obedience, the way our Master did. for don't give up for a moment. And let us not hurry through this day or hurry through this process, but to open ourselves and experience all that God has to offer us during this time, because he is walking with each and every one of us today, every step of the way. Father Barron said this. If you're not familiar with Father Barron, he in Christianity, he's a wonderful man to follow, and said, he said this, that Christ came all the way down to us, came all the way down to each and every one of us, came down deeper than you can think, so that in the process, no one would be left out. No one would be missed, but the love of God would reach all. And in response to that, that's what I say. Let us become free by giving ourselves over as Christ did in the example and become obedient to what God has for each and every one of us in our lives.